David Jansen as Dr. Richard Kimble, an innocent victim of blind justice, falsely convicted for the murder of his wife.
That sounds pretty good. I wonder when that show is coming out. Hi, everybody. Talking Fugitive with Kitty and Bobby and Ken. On the program, I really realized that the show came out a few years ago. So anyway, tonight, speaking of The Fugitive, it's going to be the Faces program, or at least another in the series of the Faces program. The two faces of Kimble's sister, the three faces of Kimble's wife. So to start the discussion off, a man with a clear vision of all faces, moderator of the Yahoo discussion group, Fugitive Views and Reviews, Bobby Neer.
Thanks, Dave. As we all know, there is one man in Richard Kimble's life who keeps him on his feet and on the run, and that, of course, is Lieutenant Gerard. But far and away, it is women, not men, who have the biggest impact on Kimble's life. And that is never more true than in the case of his sister and his late wife, Helen. In this, the last of our Three Faces of series, we'll take a look at both and see the vast differences between them over a 37-year period. Starting in this half of the program with Donna, and of course, that can only lead to Ken showing his usual love and devotion towards another man's sister, but we will get to that in a minute or two. First, I want to talk a little about Richard Kimble's sister in the 2000 version of the series, now renamed Maggie rather than Donna, and played now by actress Connie Britton. We see her in the second episode of the new series, just like in the first, on the phone talking to her brother. There is some emotion and a tear or two, but it can't come close to the awesome and powerful scene created by Jacqueline Scott when we first see her in the original series in Home is the Hunted. In the 2000 edition, Maggie is talking to her brother not from home, but from a payphone, and no one other than Gerard happens to be trailing her and watching her from his car. He tries to get a trace on the call, but fails because Kimble already suspects something is up and does not stay on the phone long enough. A short time later in this episode, Maggie and Gerard have a face-to-face confrontation, and that leads to a little dialogue that, shall we say, is something we never figured we would hear. Where the original Donna was super emotional and could never contain herself, the new Maggie is a whole lot tougher, to put it mildly. In this scene, Gerard says to Maggie, "I believe you want what's best for your brother, and I believe you can help us bring him in alive. Tell me where he is." And Maggie looks him straight in the eye and says, "Lieutenant, you can take your gun, stick it in my mouth, cock the hammer, and I wouldn't tell you what day it was. You know, all through the trial you were so sure, like you just had to be right, and I kept wanting to ask you why. Why do you have to be right? And how are you going to live with yourself if they put that needle in my brother's arm and you were wrong?" The scene ends, and there is no response from Gerard. Ken, in your wildest imagination, can you possibly conjure up the image of Donna in the original series ever saying this kind of thing to Gerard? And furthermore, do you like this leaner, tougher, more confrontational sister, or the earlier tearful, emotional one?
Well, it was good casting of the Maggie character played by Connie Britton.
That's right.
Yeah, she's on Friday Night Lights, I know, right now.
Right.
And she was also in 24. So when I saw her, I watched the episode yesterday afternoon. I plugged it in. I have some of the Fugitive 2 series on VHS tape that I back in 2000. You know, it came on Friday nights. I watched. And she appears in episode 2, and I have to tell you, Bob, I think that's a mistake. Because I watched episode 1 again, and they should have had Maggie in that episode. You know, introduce her as a character, and then develop a storyline throughout the season. And I think it was good casting. She's a fine actress. But when we see her in episode 2, she is on the phone. I would rather have seen them talk face-to-face. So that's why I say, hey, put her in the pilot episode, maybe have one or two scenes where her and her brother, you know, talk, and then you see how bonded they are. But when they're on the phone, you can tell she's concerned for Richard, and then, you know, he's kind of in a hurry. But that scene in the interrogation with Gerard, she talks about the trial, and she's really tough. She's got her lawyer next to him. It didn't work for me. I don't know how you felt about that scene. She was tough.
Why do you object to her being on the phone? You don't object to it in the original series.
Well, I was going to get to that later. I told you I have more to say about Helen and Donna. So if you want to hear my, what I think they should have done with Donna in the first season.
Okay, well, we're doing Donna in the first half of the program, so do it now.
Well, I think the producers made a huge mistake, you know, with the pilot episode. They should have had Donna in that episode, you know, introduce the character, you know, make her part of the show. And when we talk about Helen later, the same thing. You know, have Helen in the beginning. You know, they did that in the Fugitive 2 series. You know, they had Helen in that first episode. So they should have done it with Donna. You know, she has the emotion. She's another character that the audience will care about and develop the story. Why they didn't do it, I have no idea. They just start off with Kimball getting off in a bus in Tucson, Arizona, and then he has to save Monica Wells. I have no idea why in left field they did that. Can you explain it to me?
Well, actually, I think I have an explanation for why neither sister is in either pilot. You have to remember that when they first come up with these shows, they have to first sell them to the network. And the first thing they have to do is film a pilot. They film a pilot before they film anything else. They don't film anything else until they know that the network wants the series. So all they're going to do is film the pilot. And so for the pilot episode, it makes perfect sense to me to keep the number of characters down, because you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, it's like, okay, film the pilot, make it a good pilot, and then if the network wants it, then you can expand on it later. And I think they did a great job with the second Fugitive series. We didn't have to wait, 15 episodes before we saw any of Kimball's family. We saw his sister in the second episode. I mean, I say you can't ask for anything better. And when the first time we see her, you know, dealing with Gerard, she's not polite to him. I mean, I thought it was great that she was very adversarial towards him. I mean, in the second series, in That Home is the Hunted, Gerard shows up at Donna's house, and I'm quite frankly shocked that Donna even let him in the door. You know, I mean, you'd think she'd be saying, "Lieutenant, why are you here? You know, unless you've got a search warrant, get the hell out of my house. You know, I don't want you here. You helped send my brother away. You know, and if you think my brother's here, prove it. Come back with a search warrant. I haven't seen him. You got no proof. You got a tap on my phone," and he'd say no. It's like, okay, so what's your proof? You know, I'm sorry, your mind reading ain't going to work here. You know, I mean, that's the one thing about Gerard in that first series that bothers me, is that Gerard is like this mind reader, and everybody just plays along with Gerard because he reads everybody's minds. I mean, instead of, you know, in the second series, you actually see Gerard being a real cop and doing stuff, you know, that a real cop would do. You know, he doesn't rely on mind reading to figure out who's doing what and when.
But as a practical matter, who is more of a help to her brother, the original Donna or the second Donna? Because emotionally, you might expect the original Donna to provide some sort of comfort when she gets on the phone, but then he's always telling her to calm down and not be so emotional. And then when we see them again later in the series, when they meet at that basketball game, he actually tells her to stop being so emotional. And yet the original Donna, for all of her emotion, by the time we get to Trial by Fire, she's actually involved in trying to get a lawyer and trying to get a witness and trying to get him free. So the question is, does the second Donna really prove anything by that brutal confrontation and about being so tough like that. It doesn't really do anything for him, does it? It's just going to antagonize Gerard even further, will it not?
I don't think so, because I think it's been pretty well established that Gerard's going to do what he wants to do no matter what anybody says to him. So, you know, I personally think both of the sisters work. I kind of like Maggie a little bit better, but I have no problems with Donna. I think she was fine, you know, the way they wrote it.
Well, here's how I feel about Donna and why they did what they did. And we'll get to Helen in a couple minutes when we get to the second half of the program. But I always thought that because Kimball didn't get anything from his wife in the first series at all, and she was provided him nothing, that they tried to make up for it by giving him a sister who went off the deep end and was quite, you know, you would expect that kind of emotion from his wife, that kind of caring. He didn't get that in his marriage, so they kind of made up for it by giving him a sister who's far more emotional. Ken, what about the acting? I know that you must prefer Jacqueline Scott to anybody.
Yes, I thought it was very good casting. Whenever I watch a show, when they develop a character and the person they hire to play the character, do they sell it? And I believe Jacqueline Scott was perfect choice. I can't think of anyone else, you know, back in the 60s that could have played. I'm sure others could have done the job, but she was just right. But
she and David Jansen seem to have some sort of chemistry between them.
But my main complaint again is, and I've said it before, I'll say it again, why not use her 10 times? I mean, what? You know, they had the fugitive formula where Kimball goes to a town, helps someone out, saves the day, or he gets saved by someone, or he gets a narrow escape, hop on the train, da-da-da-da. I mean, that's okay, but to continue week after week, the same, different angles. What I would have preferred as a fan is, the pilot episode, introduce Helen, introduce Kimball, introduce Gerard, maybe show the one-armed man running out of the house, and hey, introduce Donna, and hey, how about this, Bob? How about Donna and Helen meet and talk a little bit, have a little chit-chat, and then Donna goes away, and you see a little relationship there. Did we through the 4 years, see Helen...
No.
And Donna talk.
No.
We didn't even see Kimball and Helen talk.
See Helen with anybody,
let alone Helen and Donna.
No, we didn't see it with anybody. But I don't have a problem with your idea to keep Donna in the show more often than she was. However, given the fact that you got a man who's traveling all across the country, and she lives back in Indiana, how much can she really be in the show? It can only be by the phone. He can't keep running back there to see his sister.
But you can develop an episode where Donna is looking for clues, and
that's what I said. And they did that in Trial by Fire, where she's involved, you know, with getting a lawyer and all of that. We see her right at the beginning of the episode that she's involved in that. That's true. But I think that they were looking down the road and saying, like I just said, you know, they're not together. There's a vast number of miles between them, so she can't really, as a practical matter, be there. If you do the phone thing too much, it gets to be really, really tedious. And I thought it was very interesting in the second series that Gerard was following her around to see if she made a phone call. And I wonder why the original Gerard didn't do that. Didn't you think that was a kind of a smart thing to do? Didn't you often wonder why this Gerard did not tap their phone in the first series? Wouldn't you have done that?
Yeah, I mean, you would think, particularly when it was made common knowledge that Kimball's father was ill,
right?
You would think that they would have obtained some kind of a phone tap.
I would have expected that they would have had the phone tapped, and as soon as the call came through, they would try to find out at least what part of the country he was in.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, you know, they did talk about the phone taps in the second series. I remember he called his father's house in Philadelphia, and Maggie answered the phone, and he said, "Is it safe to talk?" And she said, "Yeah, don't worry. The lawyer got the phone taps removed."
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. That's
yeah.
true.
So, you know, so they were, you know, they, in the second series, they fought a lot more about
right.
those types of things. And, you know, and they had the sister, you know, cognizant about things like that
right,
as well.
Right.
All right, well, I've got to get cognizant about taking a break because we're up against it. Quick timeout. When we come back, we'll look at the faces of a another prominent female of sorts in when we continue talking Fugitive on Sherevision Radio.
Hi, everybody. I'm Dave White. And with me today are Dr. Phil.
Hello.
Homer Simpson.
Hello.
And Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Good morning.
These guys are here to help me tell you about my program, Talkin' Television with Dave White on KSAV.
I have a feeling some bad stuff is about to go down.
Every Tuesday from 7:30 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time, we have a fun discussion of television past and present.
Is that the truth or a lie?
What do you guys think of my program?
A load of crap.
Boring.
Outrageous.
And what about my co-host, television guru Tim Carmody?
The drum pimp.
Jerkass!
But don't take their word for it. Tune in and join in every Tuesday, 7:30 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time on KSAV.
Stay with KSAV.
All right, and we're back talking Fugitive with the big trio over here. And to pick up for the second half of tonight's program, let's go back to Bobby Neer.
26 years after Richard Kimball walks out of the courthouse a free man, someone gets the bright idea that not every single dime that could be squeezed out of the Fugitive franchise had actually been tapped. Come on now, how ridiculous can anything be? Everybody knows that Kimball was exonerated, that David Jansen had passed away, that it was over. Well, maybe not everybody, and maybe not if you get Indiana Jones to play Richard Kimball and Tommy Lee Jones to play Gerard, and Jones wins an Oscar, and the film makes millions and becomes an instant classic, and today is a staple on cable TV. The question is, does Richard Kimball transfer well to the big screen? Does the black-and-white claustrophobic film noir 1960s Fugitive look the same, feel the same, and play the same this way? And can one man really solve his problems in 2 hours when he couldn't do it previously in 4 years? The Fugitive, the movie, part one, 2 weeks from tonight on Talking Fugitive. For all of the emotion and gritty determination that Sister Donna and her counterpart Sister Maggie bring to Kimball's life, it is the wife who makes the story happen in the first place. Excuse me, Helen, that mysterious figure we so often talk about, the one we wanted to know, the one we never knew. Nowhere is the difference more striking than in the 3 versions of this series than it is with the portrayal of Helen. Sad and angry, loud and abusive, and often drunk and disorderly, the first Helen is nobody we want to know in the original Fugitive. And when Kimball runs out of the house to get away from her, we can certainly relate to his feelings. But wait, all is not lost. Helen is back, briefly for sure, in both the movie version and the 2000 series. Little more than a prop at the start of the feature film, she is beautiful indeed and a striking figure on the arm of her doctor husband as they attend what seems to be a dinner party. In their car on the way home and back at home, the Kimballs are the very essence of domestic bliss. The end is the same. Death and disaster await, but at the very least, the story seems much more tragic now. Gone are the bad days. The new Helen, for the brief time we see her, is a far more sympathetic character. But wait, if you think that's amazing, try the 2000 series. Helen is transformed yet again, and now she's really wonderful. The Kimballs are seen at the start of the series in the pilot episode as a beautiful couple running and jogging in the park, grabbing at each other, laughing and planning for the future. In a later episode of the series, Helen returns yet again in a couple of dream sequences after her murder, and again she's to be admired. She's undergone a total transformation. Yes, she's still dead, but she's back a third time, and she's better, although deader, than ever. So what's going on here? If the producers and the creator of the series were so sure that they got it right the first time, why change it now? Why is Helen, Helen in name only? She's so different now that even a determined believer in reincarnation like Shirley MacLaine might be truly impressed. You not only get to come back again and again and again, but you get better and better and better. Kitty, she's back, but do we like the new Helen? Or do we miss the troublemaker, the loud and angry Helen from the original series?
Oh, I think Helen is much better. In fact, it actually, you know, when you mention the name Helen, it actually kind of surprises me that they did not give her a more updated name, because they changed the name of Kimball's sister from Donna to Maggie. So when you think about it, it is kind of surprising that Helen's name was not changed to something that sounded more with the times, with the 80s and 90s. But yeah, I thought she was great. You actually feel bad when you see these two. You know, you see her in the movie portrayed by Celia Ward, and then you see her portrayed in the 2000 version by Kelly Rutherford, and it actually bothers you to see these women get murdered. Whereas in the first one, you know, as portrayed by Diane Brewster, they just portray her as such an unlikable person. You just don't have a whole lot of sympathy for her. And throughout the series, you don't, you know, Kimball doesn't seem to have a whole lot of sympathy for her. You know, but in the movie version and in the 2000 version, Kimball clearly is grieving his wife as these stories go on. And, I think it's wonderful. I mean, I think that's something that the first series clearly lacked. And obviously somebody realized that because they changed it. And in fact, I even remember seeing an episode of the Gary Shandling show where they spoofed The Fugitive. And Richard Kimball, you know, and it comes out that Richard Kimball actually did kill his wife, and he yells at Gary Shandling, "She was a witch. She deserved to die." And, you know, this was before the movie ever came out. And so it's like that was like over two decades later. You know, the general consensus was that Helen Kimball was an unlikable person. And I think it was a very well done thing that they did to make Helen a likable person and to make the Kimball marriage happy. And certainly I think they also realized too that to convict Kimball of premeditated murder on the grounds that he killed his wife because she didn't want to adopt a baby is just plain stupid. You know, in the movie version and in the 2000 version, Helen actually came from wealth. She had like a trust fund or something that had a lot of money in it. And so that was given as the motive for Kimball offing her.
Ken, tell us how much you loved that original Helen.
You know how upset I am the way that they treated the original Helen. My God, Sherlock Holmes couldn't solve the mystery of who Helen Kimball was in the first series. I mean, just to show her in the living room for a couple seconds, they have a drink, Kimball drops the glass, and you're right, Kitty, you can't identify with Helen because you don't know who she is. Is she mean? Is she nice? You know, that Egypt flashback, it did not reveal a lot to me about who she was. And so I say that is a huge mistake on part of Quinn Martin, the executive producers, maybe even Roy Huggins should take some blame. That first episode, you got to have Helen Kimball in that episode. Somehow work it out.
you know, that's just my opinion. Maybe others disagree.
Well, and not only that, they had a lot of different opportunities in that first series to show Helen in flashbacks. I mean, there were a few different episodes where flashbacks of Helen would have worked, I think, quite perfectly.
I agree. We've talked about that on the board many, many times. But, you know, in The Fugitive 2, when they did that episode, I watched it yesterday, like I said, I got refreshed. I don't know, I don't understand why they started off the first scene was Kimball and Gerard after the bus crash. And then maybe just a little later, then they got into, you know, Helen and Kimball running and jogging, you know, loving, had a kissing scene there, which was nice. And you know what? Right away, you like Helen. And I thought Kelly Rutherford was a good choice. You know, she's pretty. She's not mean looking. Wasn't she in Melrose Place? Was that the show she was in?
I have no idea.
I can't remember. I'm trying to remember what other show she was in. But she was a good choice. But that gruesome murder, yeah, you're right, Kitty, again. You feel sorry and you feel devastated. You know, you see her on the ground. Kimball comes running in. Did you notice,
that's what
Bob?
Thing, too. They're not afraid to show anything. I mean, you know, Helen Kimball is lying in a pool of blood in that second series. You are clearly upset to see this woman getting killed.
Doesn't the fact that they changed her so much, isn't that an indication that they may have had regrets over what they did the first time?
Well, I would think so, or at least, you know, I don't know how many of the original people were involved in making the movie and then the second series, but obviously somebody took a look at that original series and said, this is really bad. I said, Helen Kimball gets killed and nobody seems to care. In fact, Kimball doesn't even appear to care that his wife's dead. He just appears to be mad that he got blamed for it.
Well, Roy Huggins is the one who created it, and my understanding was always that he had some input. He was alive back then, although he was well into his 80s. That he had some input into both the movie and the second series, because he died after the series ended. The second series ended. And that certainly if you create a character and you see that person change, you might be sitting there saying, wait a minute, this is not how I conceived Helen. You guys are making her much softer and much more likable. I never wanted to do that. I had a specific reason. So it makes me wonder whether they just ignored what he wanted to do and said, look, he's an old man, we'll do what we want to do. Or they simply said, this doesn't fit with audiences today. It's more personal. TV is more personal now.
Okay, one minute.
And they want to. And audiences, I think, want to know exactly what. And it's indicated by how the three of us feel. People want to know the background story. They want to know the intimate details. Back then, I'm not so sure anybody really cared. And when Roy Huggins created the show, he simply said, "Listen, this is a show about a man falsely accused." And he simply is on the run. I'm not going to spend my time telling backstories about the marriage, about whether they got along, how they're... That's another series. That's,
well, and it's really unfortunate that he didn't want to do that when you consider
all of
the really bad, dysfunctional stories that came out as a result.
I think there's a lot missing when you don't know Helen. And the fact of the matter is, you want to really feel sorry. You feel sorry for any man who loses his wife in any context, but in this case, she's so awful. Remember, not only in the early episodes in Little Egypt, but in the Judgment, which will be going, you know, early next year, and it's the same story. She's even worse there. So there's no chance at all for her to ever redeem herself. And Diane Brewster, who played Clark, reportedly wanted to be in the series more often, and they just ignored her.
Yeah,
right.
she referred to it as that dumb, pivotal thing on the floor.
Right.
Hey, I don't go for descriptions of me like, oh, you're talking about her. All right, we're out of time here for this episode. Be back with us 2 weeks from tonight when once again our team of experts will delve deep into the bowels of the greatest drama of all time, The Fugitive, and hope you'll be here to enjoy it. Talking Fugitive on Retro Radio.